on, say it again like you mean it. Say, Jesus is King. Come on now, say it like you believe it. Tell somebody, look at them right in the face and just tell them, say, Jesus is King. Amen. Now let's give him some praise in this house. Amen. Come on. Come on. Wake up, L3. Wake up. We're in church today, right? Yes. Well, I am so excited to be speaking with you today and continuing our series on Jesus is King, part 3. How many people have been enjoying this series so far? Amen. Come on, it's been so amazing. I just want to recap for you a bit. If you missed any of the weeks, I encourage you to go to our website and watch the videos that are on there from week 1 and week 2. I want to recap with you if you want to grab your Bibles and going to week 1. Many of you remember week 1, we spoke of the Shunammite woman. How many people enjoyed that story? Amen. How many people had never heard that story before? Do I have anyone here? Everyone knew the story of the Shunammite. Oh, there we go. Amen. It's encouraging, right, to see that there's more to the story. Look at somebody and tell them, say, there's more to the story. So week 1, we talked about there's more to the story. Pastor Ronnie shared from 2 Kings chapter 4 and told the story of the Shunammite woman who built a room for the prophet Elijah. It reads that she literally built another story on her house. She built a second story for him. How many people know that there's always more to the story, that God is adding to your story? Amen? So as God was adding to her story, the story continued as we read. The prophet was so thankful for her hospitality that he wanted to bless her. He realized that she didn't have any children. And when he asked her, "What can I do to bless you?" she said, "I have all that I need." Amen. But he dug a little bit further and asked a servant. He said, "Help me find something of a way to bless her." And it was the servant that realized she didn't have any children. So Elisha went to her and prophesied. He said, "By this time next year, you will hold a child in your arms." And we know the story goes on to say that she was not too happy about that prophecy. You would think she would be overjoyed, but how many people know that after you have suffered grief and pain in one area, sometimes it's easier just to put something to sleep and say, "I no longer want to believe in that anymore. That's too painful to believe in that anymore." But thank God we serve a God that says, there's more to your story. I'm not going to let your dream die. I'm not going to let that live there. I'm going to keep adding to your story. Amen? So it goes on to say that a year later, she did have that child, amen? That was a celebration, that was an awesome miracle that happened. But the story continued that there was more to the story as that child grew up and years went on. It says that child was working out in a field and grew faint one day, and the father that he had, as all good fathers would do, seen his son grow faint and picked him up and said, "Take him to his mother," right? Come on, do we have any dads in the house here that know sometimes you just got to say, take him to their mom, right? Send him to their mom. So he sends him to his mother, and the boy, we know the story, grew faint, he died. That's horrible. Gosh, that's a horrible story. This miracle, this Shunammite woman, Jesus is King. We're on the series, Jesus is King. Why would you tell a story like that? This boy died. But look at your neighbor and tell him, say, there's more to the story. So we know the story goes that the mom beckoned for the prophet to come back, and the prophet went and locked himself up in the room with that young boy and prayed and prayed and prayed until that boy came back to life. Amen? And that's where we say Jesus is King of the whole story. Amen? Come on, let's just give him some praise for that. Come on. And then week 2, we went into Jesus is King, and it was our international Christmas service. How many people enjoyed last week our international Christmas service? It is literally my favorite service here. I look forward to all year. By the way, do you keep hearing that little thing in the microphone? Maybe it's just me. Okay. So week 2, international Christmas service, and we talked about Jesus is King. Amen. The verse we shared was from Revelations 19:16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. we established the fact that Jesus is king of every tribe and every nation. Thank God. Amen. And we celebrated together the beauty of the kingdom of God. And now for week three. I am so excited for the word that God put on my heart. We've been praying as we knew that this series was something God had spoke to us about, Jesus is king, and we wanted to portray to you that Jesus is king of the world, Jesus is king of the nation, Jesus is king of all. But the most important thing we wanted to establish was that Jesus is king of your life. Amen? So today I want you to get your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And I feel this is a common verse in the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but we have plaques in our home that has this verse. We have a plaque outside of our home. We have a picture in our home. This is a word that we establish in our home. And I believe that this is something that needs to be spoken of again. Joshua 24:15. Says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, come on, somebody. Can anybody say this with me today? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for this opportunity that we get to dive into your word today. God, we just pray today that you establish this word in our hearts. We pray that you illuminate your word to us in a new way. We pray that you reveal the hidden mysteries, the secrets of your word, God. We thank you for this time. We just pray for open ears and open hearts, Lord, to hear what you are wanting to say to us, God. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua makes this clear, and we know the story. Joshua came after Moses, and how many people know the story of the Israelites? We know that they wandered in the wilderness, it says, for 40 years, and they became a people, although God did this amazing miracle for them and rescued them from slavery. They became a people that got in the journey, I guess we can say. They got a little, you know, kind of grumbly and complaining. Anyone ever read the stories about the Israelites? It got to a point where Moses literally was like, God, I'm going to pull my hair out over these people. No matter what, you literally have manna coming down from heaven, and then they're complaining, this is all we get is manna coming from heaven. And so he's like, okay, now we have these like quail coming to you every day, and then they're like, I'm getting really sick of eating this. I mean, come on. I mean, he parted the Red Sea for them, and there was a time where they're like, we're thirsty, Moses, and he hits a rock and water comes out. Incredible miracle after miracle these people experienced, but they still got to a place where they got discouraged in the journey. So Joshua comes on the scene after Moses, and Joshua, you know, goes to the promised land, and although, you know, he goes, we know the story with the spies, and they're saying, gosh, look at the giants in that land. There's no way we can defeat this. Joshua says, wait a minute. Do you remember what God has done for us? And he's the one that, I guess you can say, does these like brave heart battle cries all the time to them when he's saying, take courage, people. Come on, we can take the land. This is our promised land, right? So we know the story that Joshua, he was kind of like, he was a bad dude, right? He was like a pretty tough guy. How many people know that about Joshua? So Joshua is saying to them, you guys are so wishy-washy. You guys keep changing your mind back and forth dependent on the circumstances that you're going through. You guys decide in whatever season you're going through to choose who you want to serve in this season. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what we go through, no matter what the journey has. And around the world on any given Sunday, people will meet in churches to hear a preacher or a teacher talk to them or preach to them and exhort them about the love of God and what God has the power and the desire to do for us. But not many will be telling the people what their responsibility is. Amen? Because in any covenant, it takes two parties, right? Perhaps the greatest thing that God has ever given to us is the privilege and the power of choice. Wow, what an amazing God to have his creation. You know, he didn't have to give us the power of choice. Did you know that? He could have just commanded us, no matter what, worship me, praise me, no matter what. But he said, no, I'm going to give them the power of choice. You get to choose who you are going to serve. You get to choose who your house is going to serve. Amen? You get to choose what gods you put up in your home. You get to choose what gods you put up in your life. You get to choose what you want to seek after. These are not things that are commanded that you just have to do no matter what. He said, you have the power of choice. These words tell us that you are in charge of your destiny and God is not in charge of your destiny. Now, don't get me wrong, God designs your destiny, but you must discover your destiny. Amen? Let me say it another way. The future that you experience is the future that you create. Just as Noah built the ark over a period of time, you and I are building our future. Amen? One day at a time, one choice at a time, one act of obedience at a time. Your future and your destiny is not a miracle or a mystery. It's a harvest. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him. Say, it's a harvest. This is a very powerful verse here in Hosea 8:7. It says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Notice, they reaped exactly what they sowed. They sowed the wind, but they reaped a tornado. The Bible makes it clear that you're going to reap what you sow. Amen? We know that Jesus is king. We've established that Jesus is king. We know that he is the supremacy. He is the God of all gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to choose to serve him. That choice is still up to you. And many of you may be saying, well, I've already accepted Jesus Christ in my life. Well, I've been in church for 25 years. This message is irrelevant to me. But I still find myself questioning on my daily choices. Have I really chosen to make him King of kings and Lord of lords of everything in my life? Is he really the Lord of my life? Is he really the king of all of the choices that I make every single day? Amen? I know that many things can happen in your life that can affect you for better or worse, but ultimately, no one can choose your destiny but you. You cannot always control what happens to you, amen, but you are the governor of what happens in you. For many years, the focus and the content of my preaching was on the Holy Spirit and the power and the work that can be done through us. But I realized that all of that is God's part. God is he will never change. The Bible says he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen? He is the Alpha and Omega. But what changes is us. What changes is, come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, you. You're the one that changes. He doesn't change, but we're the one that changes. And so Joshua experienced that with these people, and I can only imagine Joshua's frustration, which it shows he was still such an amazing man of God and with such confidence in believing that God was still going to give them the victory, although, you know, they had these people that had literally turned away from God, the God that parted the Red Sea for them, but got into a place of serving other gods. But Joshua made a decision that says, no matter what you do, no matter what choice you make, no matter if you go through a season tomorrow and then you decide, I'm just going to walk away from all of this, that this doesn't make sense to me anymore. Joshua said, me and my house, come on, let's say it one more time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because here's the important part to know today, that your decisions decide your destiny. And change happens at the speed of your decisions. You can either run into your future or you can crawl into it. Your future can be gloomy or it can be glorious. Come on, we see the children of Israel. I don't know if you know that story. Sometimes it gives me heartache. I think me and you have actually had this conversation before. It's like, I don't want to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Doubting that God has said, you can inhabit the promised land. When do we get to the point as believers of understanding that God is the one that designed our destiny, but he gave us the ability to choose, right? He gave us the ability to make the decisions and the choices that we make that are going to affect our future. We know in verse 29, or chapter 29, 11 of Jeremiah, such a familiar verse again that I love, and many of you can probably say this one by heart. If you can, say it with me. Come on. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Let's go for this one. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And so he has a plan, right? But just because he has a plan for you, he says, I have plans for you. Here, Tim, here's the plan for you. Now follow that plan. Now what happens? Here's the plan, but now the choice is yours. So he designed a plan for you. He designed a good plan for you. It says he designed something before you when you were still in your mother's womb. He already had these good plans for you. He had all of this laid out for you. But then this is what he said. He said, here's the plan. Now you can choose. You get to decide what you're going to do with that plan. Amen? Is this good so far? Come on, is this good? We're talking about Jesus as King, and we can talk about how amazing he is, but until we get to establish that Jesus is King in our life, Jesus is King over all of our decisions, not just the big decisions. Oh, God, I've accepted you into my life. What about your everyday decisions? Is Jesus King over everything that you're doing? Is Jesus King over your business? Is Jesus King over your dreams? Is he King over every single thing in your life? And until we can establish that in our life, I feel like we are missing out on what the kingdom of God has for us on this earth. You know, eternity is important, right? Eternity is real. But God is not just saving you so that you can just die one day and go to heaven. He saved you so that you can experience the kingdom of God on this earth. Amen? And our decisions that we make, I find myself at times praying and asking, God, I don't want to get to a place one day where I'm at heaven, where I'm at your throne, and I say, gosh, I wish I would have done more. I wish I realized that there was so much more for me to do while I was on this earth. And so that's why I think it's important for us to establish that today. I'm actually going to do an illustration with you today. I'm going to have Katie come up. How many people love Katie? Amen. Let's give it up for Katie. Here's the most amazing thing. Okay, y'all love Katie. But I was like, hey, Katie, can you help me this weekend? And then she showed up today, and we're matching. Come on. That was like a God thing right there. Amen? So I want to share with you, I don't have a long message for you today, but I wanted to establish this in your heart, and I want to share with you something that I've only briefly shared one other time, so this will be my second time sharing, so let's pray that it comes out clear and you understand it, and if not, then it's okay. Pastor Ronnie will be preaching next week, so come back still, all right? But I found myself, I like to ask a lot of questions. Does anybody ever ask God questions? You know, it's okay to ask him questions. It's not a sin to ask him questions. I found myself in a place a couple years ago, and I was in a challenging season. I was going through a rough time, and I asked him a question. I'm not someone that doubts God of, you know, God, why did this happen to me? I'm not one of those people. You know, I understand that everyone in their journey of faith has different things that they go through. But I was in a challenging season, and I found myself asking this question. God, I trust you through it all. I trust you with everything that keeps happening. I trust you with the things I understand, the things that I don't understand. But I just want to know, what is the point? Come on, y'all hear me say that again a lot. Every time I'm up here preaching, I'm one of those people. I just want to know the point. I will do anything if I know the point. If I know that it's worth it, if I know that that's what God wants me to do, I don't care, right? But I just want to know the point. And I found myself in this season, and I was asking God, I said, God, what is the point? What is the point of the ups and downs? What is the point of the journey? I understand, you know, the big scope of it, our journey of faith, but what is the point of all of these hills and these valleys? And why does it have to be, you know, all of this, this ups and down? Anybody else ever asked maybe that question? Maybe you asked it or you didn't or you just wondered. And I went to sleep and I had a dream. I know the Bible says that in the last days that old men will dream dreams, and I don't call myself an old man, but I will say that I knew that this dream was of significance, and I want to try to reveal this dream to you as best as I seen it in my dream, this illustration. In my dream, I was asking God, I said, God, what is the point of the ups and downs? I trust you through it all. I trust you through the health situations. I'm trusting you through the grieving process. I'm trusting you through the hard seasons that I'm going through. But I just want to know, what is the point of the whole journey? What is the point of our journey of faith? What is this all about? And in my dream, I went to sleep, and this is the way that God speaks to me, very clearly. Just like this, like a little dot-to-dot picture. How many people growing up have ever done one of those dot-to-dot pictures where it's all numbered out for you? You know, you have the number 1, 2, 3, and all you have to do is what? You have to connect the dots. And you have to follow the numbers of knowing where the next place you were going to go. And I don't know about you, but I used to love to look at those pictures that were just dots and try to imagine, what is this picture going to be? Anybody ever try to figure it out before you do it? And then you get started, and as you get partway through, then you know, like, oh, this is, you know, something amazing, or it's not. Like, I just did all of this, and this is boring. So in my dream, this is the way that he speaks to me. I go to sleep, and it shows me, and this might seem a little corny to you, but just stick with this with me. And he shows me getting into this little vehicle. We're going to call this a little car, right? And this little buggy. And this car was called Faith. Come on. So I was getting into this car. How many people have ever named your cars? Anybody else out there have names for your cars? Okay, so my car in my dream was called Faith, all right? So now it doesn't sound so bad, right? I'm in this little car called Faith, and he shows me all of a sudden this blank canvas, and all of a sudden all of these dots start to show up in my dream, and these numbers start to show up in my dream. And so I'm wondering, I'm watching, you know, these, I'm in this vehicle, and I'm watching these dots start to establish, and these numbers start to go by each dot. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go on a journey. Come on. You guys buckle up with me. We're getting ready to go on this journey. Come on, if I'm telling the story, you got to buckle up with me. Just do it. Come on, buckle up with me. And it's like, oh, you're going on this journey. I thought, all right, God, here we go. Let's go on this journey. It's going to make sense. So these dots start to appear, and he says, okay, get ready, Crystal. Let's go. Just follow the dots, right? Just go where you're supposed to go. And so I start at number one, at dot number one. I'm in my vehicle and I'm driving to my first destination. And then I go to dot number two. And I'm like, okay, God, this is fun. And then I drive to dot number three. And then I drive to dot number
four.
Come on. And then I drive to dot number five. And I start looking as I drive to dot number six, and I drive to dot number seven, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is bad enough that I'm going through this in life right now, but now in my dream, I'm going up and down. This is a boring picture. I mean, I've had really amazing pictures at times when I, as a child, doing those dot-to-dots, but this one did not seem too exciting so far. It was just up, and it was down, and it was up, and it was down, and I started to realize this is really what life is like right now. There's a lot of ups, and there's a lot of downs, and I'm asking you, Lord, what is the point of these ups and downs? What are these point of these great mountaintop experiences? And then what are the point of these low valley moments of grief or of sorrow or of pain or of suffering? And then to go right back up into these joyful moments, to crash right back down into these sorrowful moments. And I started to see this pattern as the picture continued, and I continued on to the next point and to the next point and to the next point. Until the picture, just as in a normal dot-to-dot picture, you know, when you get to the very end, usually the last dot is where? Right back at the very beginning. So as this picture started to complete in my dream, and I promise you it looked a lot better than this one, but I noticed that it really resembled a crown. I woke up that morning. And I got the word out and I started looking up every verse that I could on the crown. And this is what I came to. James 1:12 says this: "Blessed is the one that perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him." I started weeping, and as I got into my Bible and my concordance, and I seen that there were so many more verses on the crown, and so I went to the next one in 2 Timothy 4:8, and it says, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all of those who have loved his appearing." I went on to find in Revelations 2:10, it says, "Do not fear for what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." It continued with 1 Peter 5:4 when he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And I don't know about you, but that encouraged my heart so much to see that in all of these ups and downs in life, and in all of these times of uncertainty, and all of these times where it seems like maybe it doesn't make sense, or why does sorrow come, or why does grief come? Or why do those hard times come, just like the story of the Shunammite woman? Why all of these ups and these downs? Why all of these hard times? The Bible makes it clear that there is a point in the journey. Amen? That all of the ups and downs are going to make sense. That there is something called a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, where he will say to you, "You have been faithful. Well done, that good and faithful servant. You not only trusted me in the good times, but you trusted me in the low times. You not only trusted me on the mountaintops, you trusted me in the valleys. You not only trusted me and rejoiced and celebrated when things were going good, but you rejoiced and you praised and you glorified my name when you didn't understand, when the night was dark, when you didn't understand the point, when you didn't understand the season, when you didn't understand the journey." Amen? Come on, look at somebody and tell them, say, "Jesus is king of it all. Jesus is king of my good times. Jesus is king of my low times. Jesus is king of my good seasons. Jesus is king of my seasons when I can just throw my hands up and say, 'I don't know.'" You have someone ever ask you before? They're like, "Why are you going through all this? Why is all this happening to you?" And you can say, "I don't know." But guess what? You can look at him and say, "But Jesus is still king," right? Why? Because we don't have to know the whole thing. I don't have to know what the next point holds for me. I don't have to know what the next season holds for me, as long as I know who holds my eternity. Amen? It doesn't matter what happens to me in this life, because I know that one day I'm going to receive this crown of righteousness, this crown of life. Because my eternity is where my hope comes. Amen? My eternity is where my security comes. My eternity is where I can say with confidence, "Jesus is king of it all. Jesus is king of it all. Amen? I find it interesting that of all these beautiful crowns that are talked about in the Bible, and there's so many more scriptures, of all of these beautiful crowns that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords talks about, there was only one crown that he wore when he came to this earth. John 19, verses 1 through 4 says, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and saying, 'Hail, Jesus of the Jews,' and they slapped him in the face." That was the crown that he wore when he was on this earth. He didn't choose a mighty, beautiful crown of gold. He didn't walk around in a crown of jewels. He didn't walk around in the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. He walked around in the crown of thorns. And it made me understand so much more why he was able to say to Paul, when Paul said, "I went to the Lord 3 times, and what did he ask him to do? He said, "I asked him to remove that thorn in my side." But what did the Father say to him? He said this, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." And the only reason that he can say that his grace is sufficient for you is because he already overcame every thorn that you're ever going to have to endure on this life. Amen? He took those thorns and he placed them on his head. He took those thorns and he said, "I've paid the price already. I've already won the battle for you. I've already overcome death, hell, and the grave for you." Amen? Come on, if that just encourages you, I just want you to take a minute, if you will, in this place. And just close your eyes for a second. I just want you to contemplate the journey. And I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if you're on a hilltop. I don't know if you're in a valley. I don't know if you're in a season of darkness, or you're in a season of just unbeknownst to you. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I pray that this word brings you courage to see the bigger picture. My prayer for you is that you allow eternity to be placed in your heart today. To know that all of it, with the ups and the downs, and everything in this world is going to fade away so quickly. Life is but a vapor. But eternity is forever. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness is forever. And I want you to just solidify that in your heart right now, to know Jesus is King. To be able to say that he is King of it all. Thank you, Jesus. If you would open your eyes one more time, I want to read this scripture with you, if you'll stand. As we're on this series, Jesus is King, we wanted to solidify that not only is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen? Not only is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of every tribe and every nation, but we want you, just as Joshua said, we want you to choose today and every day. As for me and my house, guess what we're going to do? Come on, we're going to serve the Lord. On the good days, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. On the bad days, guess what? Come on, say it with me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what comes my way, no matter what tomorrow holds, no matter what a doctor says, no matter what the world says, come on, say it with me again one more time. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because no matter what comes my way, come on, none of it is comparison to eternity. And I want to read this to you in Revelations chapter 4. Gosh, it makes me understand Revelation so much more. And I understand this chapter so much more. This is the throne in heaven. I just want you to get a beautiful picture of eternity right now. He said, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And listen to this, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, this is what I want you to get. This is what the 24 elders do, those that earned their crown of life, those that went through the ups and downs, those that went through the journey, those that went through persecution, those that went through the hard times. This is what they do when this moment happens in heaven. Get this picture. This is what they do. It says that the elders, that when this happens, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And it says that they lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Come on, can somebody just give him some praise in this place? Amen? I don't know about you, but that picture makes me understand that it is worth it. Come on, look at somebody and just tell them, say, "It's going to be worth it." Amen? It says the elders got to a point to where they would look at the Father and they would see his majesty. And then they would think about this journey that they went through and they would say, "It's all worth it." Amen? It was like a vapor. It wasn't even a big deal. Come on. That's hard to say when you're going through a trial, right? But imagine getting to the point of saying, "Gosh, I see the bigger picture. Gosh, I understand." So my prayer for you today is that you establish in your heart that Jesus is King of all times. Jesus is King of every day. Jesus is King of the good days. Jesus is King of the not so good days. Come on. Jesus is King at the time of mourning. Jesus is King at the time of grief. Jesus is King when we're celebrating. Amen? Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? Come on. Let's give him some praise in this place. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. In closing, I want to show one more thing to you. As you notice in this crown, and there's so many different crowns in the Bible, and I can imagine all of the different crowns we've ever seen in our life. All the different crowns are different, right? Every crown is different. And in tradition, when we look at a crown, many times the points of crowns have what on them? Different jewels. Which shows me that in each different season, that there is something special that's being gifted to you. Amen? You know, because the Bible says this, that he's laying up treasures for you where? In heaven. So although you don't see it here, don't be discouraged. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give up in well-doing. Because in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not, whether you reap it in this earth or you reap it into eternity. I can promise you the jewels you're going to get in heaven are way, way better in comparison than anything you would ever get here anyways. Amen? But not only these jewels and these peaks, but the significance of having seven different valleys. And I couldn't help but go back to the scripture where the Bible says this, that a righteous man falls seven times. But what does he do? He gets back up again. Amen? Come on, let's give him praise one more time for the journey. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. If everyone in here would just close your eyes and bow your heads with me. One of the most important things that we can establish in this place, one of the most important things that I pray, whether this is your first time or your 100th time or I don't know, that you remember this word, that the choice is up to you. That the choice is up to you. Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming quickly. And listen to what his warning was. Hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. I'm praying today that whatever season you're in right now, that you just build the courage back up, that you build the confidence back up in God to not allow a season of darkness, a season of trial to be a season for you to throw it all away. Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. Don't let them think everything that you've been through has been pointless, because maybe you've endured more dips than somebody else, but you're just getting more jewels in your crown. Amen? You may not see it until eternity, but I promise you, you will be rewarded one day for that. So we're praying in this place today that not only do you establish Jesus as being king of your life, but you allow him to be king of everything that you're going through. And if you're in this place and you say with me, Crystal, I've never established Jesus as being king of my life. I've heard about him. I've even been to church many times, but I've never made him the king of kings of my life and the Lord of lords of everything in my life. I've never crowned him that and made him the Lord of everything that I'm going through. And I understand that life is short. Life is a vapor, that all of this is a journey of faith. And I want it to make sense. I want it to count. I want to receive that crown of life one day. If that's you and you're in this place, I want you to boldly and confidently lift your hand. Come on. I want you to boldly and confidently say, come on, pray for me, pray with me. I'm establishing Jesus as king of my life. Come on, even if you're saved and you've established him as king of your life in the past, I want you to establish it for eternity, to say without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what, I'm going to receive that crown of life one day. Come on, I want everybody in this place, hopefully will have your hand lifted, to say, I want him to give me that crown of life one day. One day I will receive that crown of life. Come on, let's celebrate together with our hands lifted. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is a point in the journey. God, we pray right now for every single person in this place, Lord. Let your anointing fall in this place, God. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to everybody in this place, to every hurting heart in this place, to every discouraged heart in this place, Lord God. We pray for courage to arise in this place, Lord God. God, we pray for your strength to arise in this place, Lord Jesus. God, we just pray right now for miracles to happen in this place, Lord God, as your word says that you lift us out of a miry pit. God, we just pray that you continue to encourage the believers that are here as we're going through this time of testing and trials and tribulations, Lord God. God, we just pray that we can solidify this moment in history to say that no one will take our crown, that we will never lay it down for anybody. We will never lay it down over a situation. We are declaring on this day that we will never allow any situation or any person to take our crown, that it is all going to be worth it. It is all going to be worth it.
You're good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are good. You're good.
I want us to go ahead and sing this song for a minute and just worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come on, just thank him for your journey so far. Come on.
You're good.
Thank you, Father.
And let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is. Let's sing that again. And let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh,
come on, I want you to sing that part one more time. And as we sing it, I want you to think of every valley. I want you to think of every season that the enemy tried to tell you that it wasn't worth it. I want you to think of every single time that the enemy tried to label that season as something bad. And I want you to declare it again that Jesus is good. Amen? That he is good. Come on. Keep saying it right now.
You are good.
Thank you, Father.
You're good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
come on. We worship you,
'cause you are good.
You are good, God.
You're good.
You are good, Jesus.
Oh,
thank you, Father.
'Cause you are good.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're good. Oh,
thank you, Father.
And you are good.
Yes.
You're good. Oh,
you,
and you're never gonna
come
let
on,
you're
out.
Never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Jesus will never let you down.
And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Sing it again, you're never gonna let.
'Cause you are good.
Oh, you're good.
Oh,
just lift your hands one more time and say this as we're getting ready to leave in a minute. Come on, just let them know right now.
Oh, he's good. You are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh,
thank you, Jesus. I want you to think of the goodness of God right now. Amen. He's a good God. See, one thing about him, he's always been faithful to you. Even though he might not have been faithful to him always, he's always been faithful to you. He's never stabbed you in the back. He never left you when you were out of money. Come on, how many of you have friends like that? He didn't leave when you had a problem. He's always been there. He's a good, good Father. He's a good God. And he's with you now. He's with you right now. I know for some in the holiday season can be amazing, but yet amazing and horrible at the same time. You may have family that's coming in, and that may be amazing, but yet horrible at the same time. And it brings a lot of stress. It really does. I mean, we've turned this, it's good to give, but we've turned it into something else, I think, if we don't watch, to where it's, you know, we've got to keep up with the pricing of gifts and the amount of gifts that we had given the years previous. How many of you parents believe we shouldn't just, let's just cut gifts out altogether? Kids. No, I'm kidding. It's good to give. But don't let it become that way to you. Why? You have the ability. Amen? Look, no matter what, and I'm going to let you go with this, no matter what you're going through today, I don't care what it is, you still have the choice to be happy. It's up to you to give that away to the enemy. Do you choose to be happy? You may be at the bottom of one of those peaks on that crown. Wasn't that awesome illustration, amen? I love that. I'd like to say I gave that to her, Wade, but I didn't. She came up with that on her own. But you may be at one of the valley moments. But can I tell you, it's the valley moments that build your faith. It's the testing of your faith that builds patience. And I pray today that in the middle of that you smile, amen? Pick your head up real quick. Come on, lift your head up. That's how you need to walk around. If you see someone with their head low, just give them a little chin nudge, okay? Have fun, man. We're all going to have problems. We're all going to have struggles. We're all going to go through a mess, walk through hell sometimes, amen? But you have the ability to be happy in it, because I believe that that's the moments that the Lord looks at you the most and blesses you the most when he sees how you react. Why is God, a good God, going to bless you with more if you can't handle the less? Amen? Show him, God, I can handle this. I can do this, Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the middle. I'm going to be happy in the middle of it. Why? Because I know that greater is coming. And I'm going to be happy when it comes, but I'm going to walk through what I'm going through right now, knowing that the Father is with me. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this amazing word. I pray that we apply it into our lives. We don't let it just be another Sunday service or another message, God, but we apply it, Lord. We understand that you're watching us and people are watching how we react, Lord God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. We have diplomatic immunity over our situations and life. The enemy has no stronghold. I rebuke the enemy's attack over this congregation, over the families of this congregation, in Jesus' name. We rejoice, Father, in the goodness that you have for us, because you are going to receive the glory through every good and hard time that we have in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now give him some praise. Amen. He's good, God.